You are listening to episode number 236 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
And admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times they are a-changing. Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming, 'cause the loser now will be later to win. For the times they are a-changing.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode number 236 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I am your host, Ben, a.k.a. the Marvelous Iggy. Before I introduce my panel of friends, I want to apologize for the last two weeks of no episodes. Last week, 4th of July, and usually we take off particular holidays. And I'm going to persevere through my dog barking, and you're just going to have to deal with it. I'm sorry. And the week before, unexpectedly, I had to watch my niece, and she's only a month old, so I wasn't exactly going to have her on the podcast. Not yet. She doesn't need to know how filthy of a mouth her Uncle Ben has. So, before we dive into some important matters, joining me is our editor-in-chief, our newspaper boy, Mr. Brian Powers.
Hey there, folks. And I really, in all seriousness, just want to preface this by saying, if I sound distracted or lose track of a conversation, it is entirely to blame on Pokemon Go, because I am
you fucking
all about
too?
That
really?
Shit.
Really?
Team
really?
Mystic for life. Team
My
Mystic.
Dog doesn't approve of your choices. Not Team Mystic, just because of playing Pokemon Go.
You know what? Your dog, he's probably Team Valor, and fuck Team Valor.
I heard Team Valor is the toxic community. I heard they're the assholes though.
Team Valor are the assholes, Team Mystic are the snobs, and Team Instinct are the retards. So that's the way we've worked it out.
Okay.
To protect the world from devastation.
Not you too, John! And also Jonathan Cartwright from...
Funny story, though. A friend of mine in England has never watched a Pokemon in his life or played any of the games, and he started with Pokemon Go. And now, actually, you guys know him. Remember Methos from the Green Lantern board?
Yeah, I remember Methos.
He's going to do a James cosplay from Team Rocket now.
Of course he is.
Because he's on that bandwagon now.
Ah, lovely. Okay, speaking of bandwagons, we'll get into that later. But of course, let me reintroduce him again. Jonathan, welcome back once again, my brother.
Hola, I'm glad to be back. I hope everybody had a good 4th, and I'm glad to get out of work. Let's just say that.
All right. Well, before we continue on, we do want to say something about what happened this past, was it Saturday or Friday? Was it Friday night? With the shootings in Dallas, Texas, I don't know what to say. You know, I didn't come here with a set of plans or anything other than just like everybody else saying, it needs to fucking stop. This killing each other over the color of our skin, it needs to fucking stop already. It's 2016. There needs to be reform within certain police departments. There's also needs to be control from the other side as well. Because let's not pretend that everybody on the opposite side is picture perfect. It just needs to fucking stop. Like in this shooting, this killing, all this death. Like we hear talk about fictional characters, and we're about later in this episode we're gonna get very angry about something very stupid. But here it's just like I can't even be angered. It's just like can it just fucking stop? My dog wants us to stop too, and I want him to stop, but he's not going to stop. So I
can't stop, won't stop.
Exactly. So if you guys want to say anything about the particular Dallas shootings, you can.
I'm just going to say that my heart goes out to everybody down there, whether they're police or regular citizens. I think Brian probably has seen my cover picture on Facebook, where it's somebody had posted up a sign saying, "Stop the fucking killing, you fucking twats." I agree with that. And I mean, I hate to use such language, but yeah, it's like, get your heads out of your asses. It's violence begets violence. The eye for an eye doesn't, it don't work. And, you know, I've worked as a detention officer, so I've seen the sides of the law enforcement, and I've seen the sides of the inmates, and it's just all stupid. It just needs to stop. That's all I can really say on that.
Brian, anything you want to add?
I really don't know what more I can say that hasn't already been said, if not by me, by somebody else. You know, I don't go out of my way to put myself in the middle of situations like this. You know, I try to keep sort of a distance from that. But when this stuff is happening, you know, and affecting entire communities of people, you know, it's hard not to take notice of the fact that, you know, whatever you want to call it, if you want to say, oh, they had it coming, they were resisting arrest, or oh, he had priors, or oh, he has a history of violence and racism, you know, no matter what you say, it's a disturbing trend that we see, you know, emerging. And for whatever reason, whatever amount of fault falls on whatever side, you know, that trend is not going to go away unless we, you know, do something about it and stop calling these things isolated incidents and start sort of connecting the dots, you know. When people are afraid to leave their homes because they're afraid that they're going to, you know, be attacked and assaulted and in jail, and not even being in jail is a guarantee anymore that you won't die by the end of the night. You could fucking die in jail and nobody would know, or if they did know, you know, it wouldn't be able to fix anything or stop anything. So, you know, all this madness that's happening. I will say, though, I mean, as cliche and as old as it may sound, I very much stand by the belief that, you know, an eye for an eye does not, you know, help anything. It makes the whole world blind, to round out that metaphor. And a better way needs to be found. I don't know what that way is, but we need to find it soon. And if we don't stand up and take notice, eventually... I don't know. I mean, eventually, what's going to happen to us, you know, as a people? You know, going to devolve into just more violence? Is that what we want out of this? I don't think that is, but I don't know, man. Thoughts and prayers, obviously, to those affected by it in the most immediate terms, but I don't know what else I can do, man. I don't know if there's anything else I can do right now, you know? It's just...
Yeah.
And you may say this isn't the place for it, but it's my podcast, and I will decide what we'll do, and it's a political issue, and we're going to talk about it, even if it's briefly. But I feel like it's too much. It's not worth mentioning, especially because I live 4 hours from that city, from the city of Dallas. And, you know, the day after I went to work, and I waited by the bus stop to go home, there was an APD officer just right there, and I've never had any problems with the APD, but... The APD was looking at me typing this computer. I couldn't help become a little bit paranoid, and you guys know me. I always say I don't have a reason to, but all this shit that's happening, just a little bit like, what is the officer gonna get out? Is it, like, I didn't do anything, but the officer just drove away. So just, I can't even say stay safe anymore, because even if you stay safe, you know, unfortunately you may get that one racist asshole.
Yeah.
Doesn't deserve to be a cop.
And unfortunately Oklahoma has its fair share of them, but yeah. You know, it just, like I said, it just needs to stop. They've got, something's got to be done.
Hearing the gunshots in Dallas, because I listened to a video of it, the firepower that was going on, like, that terrified me. I have never heard guns sound like that. Like, I've heard pistols go off, but it scared me, like, legit. It freaked me out. But you're not here for that. You are here for the
Funny Money Comics Warriors Talk. 3. Yeah,
exactly. We're you know, we had to bring it because you can't ignore it. Like, my dad always had a saying. Son, he always told me and my brothers, I don't care if you guys become politically active, but I at least want you all to be aware. And that's my message to everybody. I don't care if you support this or that. But the point is, you need to know what's going on. You need to know. Even if it's depressing, even if it's sad or upsetting, you need to know. And spreading this information, even though it's widely available, constantly talking about it doesn't make it go away. Because make it go away is the worst thing that can happen right now. We need to be talking about it. But let's talk about pointless stupid shit, and that is comic books and getting mad at the company that owns by Dizzy. Dizzy Fresh.
Dizzy right, yo.
Yes.
Yeah, yo.
So, Comic-Con is this, what, next week, right?
I don't know if that's correct.
Yeah, I think so.
And in typical Marvel fashion, they don't announce anything at Comic-Con. Rather, they do mini announcements leading up to Comic-Con. So we have a list of several new number ones series that are coming, as well as a... And we'll talk about the state of the Marvel Universe coming October, because Civil War 2 doesn't fucking matter. So let's kick it off with the list with Mosaic, the latest new ongoing series. My dog doesn't like the name Mosaic either. It's going to be starring... Why don't you give us the details on Mosaic, Brian Powers?
Oh, sure. Why not? Because, you know, Mosaic, that's sure to be the next big thing. Right? I mean, honestly, I can't even keep up with the big events and announcements anymore. I'm having trouble with it, honestly. But that's not... You're not here to hear about me complain about that sort
of thing. Did Jon Stewart sign a contract to play for the Marvel Universe because he couldn't win a championship in Oklahoma City? Oh, wait. Wrong topic.
So... As you know, there was a slew of teaser images released a while ago in conjunction with this whole Mosaic thing, where it was painted. It looked like Jessica Jones stuff at first, and then we find out that it's actually for a brand new series called Mosaic, written by Jeffrey Thorne and to be drawn by Cary Randolph. It's going to launch in October. 10-page origin story for a new black character, which is going to go on sale at Barnes & Noble on August 6th. So they're going to release the backstory before they actually release the issue. According to the press release by Vulture, Mosaic will, quote, follow the exploits of a man named Morris Sackett. He starts out as a beautiful and successful professional basketball player, a selfish jerk, and unbeknownst to him, a latent inhuman, who upon discovery of his powers finds he no longer has his hands and body. Instead, he becomes a free-floating entity that needs to occupy other people's bodies in order to survive.
That sounds like a Grant Morrison concept right there.
It really does, doesn't it? And they're billing it as sort of like... A anti-hero, more not full-on hero stuff, because, you know,
he's a dick.
Yeah kind of. So that's what we got out of Mosaic so far.
Okay. I would only care about this, the only thing I care about this is that Cary Randolph is the artist, and I like Cary Randolph's art. That's it.
Question.
Yes.
Who's Cary Randolph?
I don't know if it's a he or she. Cary Randolph is an artist. That said artist, because I don't know if it's a he or she, did a series called Starborn, which is really good.
Oh, shit, they did Starborn! Yeah. I love Starborn!
Yeah, that is the artist.
Oh, shit?
Yes.
Oh, well, hell, man. Damn. I love Starborn. Shit. Oh, God. I was so disappointed when that series ended, man. Okay, well, this isn't the Boom Studios podcast. I'm sorry. Excuse me. But yeah, that's cool.
John, do you have any thoughts to say on Mosaic, other than the obvious Green Lantern? Seriously, does DC not own the trademark for Mosaic?
It depends on how it's being used.
Probably. Okay.
Kind of like how the whole Captain Marvel thing.
Yeah. That's true. But what are your thoughts on this Mosaic?
Sounds interesting. I just wish it wasn't yet another friggin' subtle change from mutant to inhuman type thing. But... I might have to check it out. It sounds like it might be good.
Yeah. So. I never heard of the writer before, but if the art and the concept are... I just hate that it's inhuman. 10 years ago, this would have been a mutant. And there's no reason why it couldn't be a mutant today, other than, like,
well, we need more inhumans. By that logic, there's also no reason why it couldn't be an inhuman, but, you know...
Yeah, but there's a more reason why it's an inhuman, because of movie rights and all that bullshit.
Uh-huh. And speaking of bullshit, what's next on the list?
Hey guys, do you want to take a trip back to 1994 with awful comic cover designs and being patriotic as fuck. Do you guys want that? Well, hello, no. We're going to get it. Brian, give us a detail on USA Avengers.
The USA Avengers. Good God. What is to be said about this besides the fact of... Fuck, man. America. It's America in a comic book, essentially. From the team, the all-star team, actually I should say, because Al Ewing, actually I do have a lot of respect for him as a writer, he's a pretty decent writer. Al Ewing, who recently did, what Avengers is he doing?
Ultimates, he's doing Ultimates.
Yeah, he's doing Ultimate now, but he was doing another book, the one with Luke Cage and that whole crew.
Mighty Avengers?
Yes, thank you, he was doing that too, which was fairly decent for what it was. He was doing Al Ewing and Paco Medina, and Paco Medina's the artist on this one, and it sort of spins out of the new Avengers team they had going on a hot minute ago. It's carrying over Avengers Cannonball, Squirrel Girl, and Pod, who is spun out of Hickman's Avengers.
Is that the one that looks like a Geth?
Yep, that's the one.
And that's a Geth.
I thought it was just me,
That's a fucking Geth. Go look up Masters like this, you don't know what that
the
is.
The roster would also include Red Hulk, who's Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross.
Why does he have his mustache? He's not supposed to have his mustache as Red Hulk.
Yep, but...
Yep, I guess he does now.
That's Merkin. A brand new Iron Patriot, who will be Tony Yinsen, the daughter of Ho Yinsen, the co-captured, of Tony Stark back when he built the Iron Man armor. And Captain America from the future, Danielle Cage,
daughter which we saw of Cage, in that, Jones. Yeah, in that Ultron Forever storyline.
Yeah, because they couldn't just leave that in the future. They have to drag diverse Cap into the here and now. But that's fine. That's fine.
They could have just put Sam Wilson on the team.
Not like it's super contrived or anything. No, it's fucking fine. It's fine. they also have the Golden Skull. Who was the villain from her future?
I like Golden Skull, though.
I thought he was interesting. He was an interesting riff on it. He was elitist as opposed to racist, so that should be fun to see happen. But yeah, that's what we're going to get with USA Avengers, man. America. Now you know. And knowing is half the battle.
Half the battle.
If you published this book in 1994, it would fit perfectly at home. With General Ross with his ridiculously big guns and the bullets covering his chest, you got the oversized armor with War Machine. It just looks like something from 1994. And I'm not interested in reading a book that's America, that defends America's interests. I'm not. I know it's hypocritical to say because I read a book called Justice League of America, but they don't dress in red, white, and blue, This just feels dumb and contrived, and what is the point of this book? What is the point? Tell me that doesn't look like a cover from 1994.
It looks like a refugee from Image Comics 1994.
Exactly.
Which is really what's sad. It looks like something from Rob Liefeld's studio, and I'm just, ugh.
Was it Extreme, wasn't it?
Yep.
That was the studio, yeah. I'm not a fan of this. This thumb down. This looks dumb. Why does General Ross have his mustache as Red Hulk? He's never had his mustache before.
Just thought it'd be more American. Because American than facial hair?
Bullshit. You have
John,
reference.
You have facial hair. Tell us about it, John.
It's American as apple pie, motherfucker. That's what they did it for.
Okay,
you know?
Whatever. I'm just being. Like, I don't know. You have reference. You have art reference, and seeing that
free mustache ride on my F-16 Raptor. Come on.
God damn it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All right. What do y'all? Any thoughts? Any thoughts on this?
That's like I posted one on Facebook when I first saw the cover. I was like, and it looks like my involvement in Marvel is going downhill.
Yeah. Huh.
I was like. Well, I'm going to be on the leaving Marvel train if this shit keeps up. But again, you never know. It could be a fun surprise, but
That cover's in that stupid saying where like can't judge a book by its cover. Oh, yes I can. That's how you're supposed to sell me on a comic. And if I don't like the cover, I don't I don't have a reason to check out the comic.
Yeah. Ugh.
Brian, any thoughts about America?
Okay. Hey, you want to know what's another IP you never thought you'd see again? Motherfucking Champions.
Yeah, this is the interesting one.
Yeah, interesting. To be penned by Mark Waid.
Wait, hold on. Champions, you mean Teen Titans? Teen Titans. What?
Oh, no. I mean a revival of the fucking Champions.
You mean
the one that had Hercules, Iceman, and Ghost Rider, and Black Widow?
That iconic team that nobody remembers whatsoever.
Which is why I was so fucking thrown when they announced Champions. But apparently, yeah, it's going to be the new young person book with all the young heroes signing up for it. Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan. We got Nova. We got young Cyclops, Amadeus Cho Hulk. We got Miles Morales. And one of Vision's children from his own solo series.
Yeah, which, Vision has has children in a solo
series. Yeah, sure. I guess that's fine. To be written by Mark Waid and illustrated by Humberto Ramos. The team will, you know, pretty much be taken over directly from the all-new, all-different Avengers line. So.
Are they canceling all the different Avengers for this?
No, I don't believe they are, but they are going to have this running concurrently alongside it, and I don't think the young kids on the team will any longer be a part of that team. So.
And this is my problem with the book. When I read all-new, all-different Avengers, one of the things I liked about it was that you had a mix of old and new. Now that you're basically segregating the young kids to their own title to do teenager things or young adult things, it's just like, well, what's the point? You know?
And the sad thing is I'm getting, like you said, Teen Titan vibes. I'm getting the vibes from the Geoff Johns run of Teen Titans. I just, ugh. But I'll give it a chance because it's Mark Waid. And while I'm not the biggest fan of Ramos's art, depending on what he's doing, this one I might actually give a chance. You know, it doesn't seem as ludicrous like Us Avengers.
Yeah, this one seems like I would actually read. What was that, Brian?
No, I just thought it was funny, the Us Avengers bit.
Yeah.
Us Avengers, oh yeah.
The Incredible Hulk, this time played by Ron Swanson. Put that image in your head. I want that Photoshop somewhere. Somebody better do that.
Oh my god, I would pay all of the money to read that series with Red Hulk just going around being Ron fucking Swanson for Parks and Rec. I would go reading that series. Oh my god, Iggy, that is why you are the host of this podcast, my friend.
Okay.
That is why you lead us mere mortals, honestly.
Alright, but let's get back on track. Are you excited for this Champions book?
Yeah, I'll check it out. I mean, okay. I never read the Champions before, mostly because they didn't exist.
Most people haven't.
But I will say, my interest was forever piqued in them when I was reading World War Hulk, and Amadeus Cho became friends with Hercules and Angel, because they were apparently allies of the Hulk, and they were both former Champion alumni, too, and they made point of drawing attention to that.
Yeah.
But a part of me thinks Amadeus Cho just remembers that part of his life and was just like, why don't we just be the fucking Champions, you know? A part of me wants that to be the way how it comes about. He's just sitting there one day and they're just spitballing names and he just goes...
I feel like Kamala Khan's going to be the one who, like, let's just call ourselves the Champions. Because she's the one, she's the Marvel fan nerd.
Very true. She is the one to have that sort of useless trivia about her, you know? But, yeah, I mean, I'll check it out, mostly because I'm a sucker for teen ensemble books. I love all that genre, so, you know, I'll check it out.
Okay. John, any final thoughts on Champions?
I'll give the first issue a try, but otherwise I'm just like, at least it doesn't look as blatantly terrible as some of these others.
Okay.
So, let's
move on.
That's not saying much.
Okay, let's move on to the most controversial one yet, which drew headlines last Wednesday. Which is The Invincible Iron Man, number one by Brian Michael Bendis and Stefano Caselli. And you're asking yourself, what's new about that? Well, we have a new protagonist as Iron Man, as Tony Stark will be either dying, more than likely he's dying, or stepping down, more than likely he's dying. And you've already, thank you for ruining the ending of Civil War II, making Civil War II even more pointless than it already was. Riri Williams, am I reading, is that name correct? Riri Williams?
Yeah, about as close as I can gather. Yeah.
It's okay. I think it's Riri.
Riri
Or Rirai.
I feel like I'm being Ryuri. Super racist to the Japanese by saying that. Can we just call it Ri?
I'm just going to be racist right now and say that the no 15-year-old black girl should be called Iron Man. Now, if her name was James Rhodes, whether he was 15 or not, then it could be called Iron Man. I posted on Facebook once again going, the sound that you're hearing in the distance was me hitting my head against the brick wall and just going, why, God, why? And I don't mind a 15-year-old girl being in a suit of armor, being a superhero, but it's not Iron Man. Of course, this is also being compounded by the fact that it's being written by a hack. And I'm using that term politely, and I do apologize to anybody else who's been called hacks because, you know, it might be an insult to them. The art looks going to look like it's going to be fantastic. It's Simone Bianchi. She's really good. If I can remember correctly, she's female. A really good artist, so that would be the only draw I would have to this book. I'm tired of political correctness being shoved into the comics. You have to take Tony out. At least let... Oh, wait a minute. You can't let James Rhodes do it because he's dead too, apparently. I'm not touching... Like I said on the Civil War II, I'm not going to touch this one with a 10-foot pole unless I really hear good buzz. You can call me sexist, misogynistic, old-fashioned, a fat old white guy that don't know what he's talking about.
Well, we call you all those things anyway, John. We don't.
I know, but I'm just saying. But, you know, you'll say that I'm just a racist fat ass from Oklahoma, you know, which, you know, that's far from the term that I usually am. I'm not interested. I'm tired of diversity for diversity's sake, whether it's at DC, Marvel. Have her as her own character, like what they're doing with Mosaic, you know. Have her, you know, that way, and I'd have no problem with it, you know, but doing it this way, no, I can't. I'm losing words, so I'm done.
I'm not necessarily against Riri Williams being Iron Man. I'm against fucking Bendis writing here, because that's what's going to ruin her. Yeah. Because Bendis has gotten extremely lazy with his writing over the past several years. It's not as good as it used to be. I don't get that. I think very few people get that enjoyment that out of a Bendis book than they used to. I would honestly give this a try if it was anybody else but him. But because, and not because he's white and Jewish, and like that's entering dangerous territory when you're saying a certain writer.
Because he sucks.
Well, exactly. Because I think some people were pointing out he shouldn't write it because he's not a black woman. I'm like, are we entering that point where... I mean, yes, there should be more people of... there should be more variety in writers. But are we going to enter the point where, like, you can't write this person because you're not that ethnicity? That's dangerous thinking, in my opinion. But I won't try this, not because of Riri Williams, because I don't know anything about her, but because it's fucking Bendis. And I know how he writes his stories. And he always disappoints. He always disappoints. If this was... anybody else, I would be down. I would be okay with it. I think the title should change because she's not Iron Man. You know, it's not like I was the same way with Falcon when he became Captain America. I'm like, that's not Captain America. You can tell me he is, but he's not. You can tell me this girl is Iron Man, but she's not. You know, and the only reason you're getting, and like your sales are gonna tank anyways. You know, we could be wrong, but I don't think. Like, they keep hoping to get this new audience, but, like, to quote a War Balloon podcast, I don't think these new readers that are coming, they don't give a shit what you do with Tony. They're either going to read, like, Tony Stark or Riri Williams, you know? They don't care about the legacy of Iron Man. So why not just call it something different? If you're going to go all the way, why not call it a new book and just not put an Iron... and have your Iron Man book be the other one we're going to talk about in a bit, which I won't mention now. So, yeah, that's my problem, is Bendis.
And I need to apologize. I meant to say Caselli. I was thinking it was Simone Bianchi, but it's Caselli doing the art. I do apologize for the misidentification on that.
Brian, your thoughts on Riri Williams being the new Agents of Iron?
Well, let's see.
Also, you're wrong. You're a cis white male. Check your privilege.
Cis white male liberal elitist from Massachusetts. You know?
You're their poster boy for hating.
gee, let me just say. I want to know when we can start or we can stop, you know, trying to make up reasons for complaining because we think something is going to suck, you know? I mean, yeah, anyone who wants to read Tony Stark is shit out of luck because they have like 3 Iron Man books coming down the pipes and none of them star Tony Stark. So, you know, fuck you. But, you know, Iron Man being helmed by a young genius black girl is not in itself a bad idea, but as you said, the branding of it and the handling of the marketing is not the way it should be done. You know, give her her own book, give her something else. For that matter, like I was saying, anybody who wants a Tony Stark book now will not have a book where Tony Stark is fucking Iron Man. And I get that you want to, you know, diversify the universe and put new people in new roles, and that's fine.
But well, why does it have to come to the cost of their characters who people like?
Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
That is not so strange a concept, you know? But it doesn't. I want to know when we can, you know, stop trying to defend ourselves as comic book fans as being racist when we just think something's going to suck. And more often than not, we're proven right. Because as you said, look who's on the book. BMB. Brian Michael Bendis. Okay? I mean, dude hasn't written anything original in however many years. What was the last original thing he really wrote?
Ultimate Spider-Man, probably.
You know what? I might give him some New Avengers stuff from back when they rebooted it during Secret Invasion. I might give him that. But after that, it's a downhill turn, man. Honestly, I mean, he's been coasting on that Jessica Jones, Ultimate Spider-Man reputation for many years now, and it has not improved his writing one bit in any of the time after that. But, you know, and like I said, it could be an interesting concept. I'm not going to read it, not the least because I wasn't reading Iron Man to begin with, because fuck Bendis writing anything, you know? Honestly, I turned my back on that, man. Y'all heard my freak out over Old Man Logan when he fucking ruined Old Man Logan for me. Okay, and by the grace of God, Jeff Lemire brought it back. But seriously, fuck me. So yeah, I will not be reading this book again. Paramount reason is I wasn't reading it to begin with, so I don't really care, you know. But like you guys are saying, whatever they're hoping to achieve by diversifying Iron Man, it's not going to be a sustainable achievement. Or if it is, it won't be noticeable, you know, right away. You know, this is going to be years of cultivating a fan base that, I don't know, maybe didn't have a horse in the race to begin with. But, hey, if they want to do it, you know what? Fine. As long as it's not in my book, what the fuck ever. I really don't care. Yeah. At this point, I'm like Nero just sitting back watching Rome burn, and I'm like, you know, this is fine. What the fuck ever.
Like, I tweeted this out, like, and we're going to get to it when we talk about the image but at the end of this section, but I don't recognize the Marvel Universe anymore. I don't recognize it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I understand the need to shake up things, but, and you're going to hear it in the time, you're going to hear this, the titles, I'm referring to the title song, the times are changing, and I don't like it. The times are changing too fast. I cannot recognize this Marvel Universe, and that freaks the shit out of me, you know? At least with like, when DC did the New 52, they at least looked the same. But here, it's just these completely different, complete revisions of these characters, or these characters that you know are gone forever. Or not gone forever, but they're gone. You know? They're not gone forever, and they'll be back eventually, but, like, you know, why do legacy characters have to be, why does Marvel want to copy the DC's legacy stick so much? Marvel's never been about that. They've always been about innovating, creating new heroes, branching off, but, like, lately, with Miles Morales, Kamala Khan, now this is Riri Williams' character, you know, and there's several more than, and the Inhumans, new Inhumans characters, like, now it's just, like, it's all about the legacy. It never was before. What happened? Let's move on. We got Death of X by Jeff Lemire and Charles Soule. Brian, basically it's Inhumans versus Mutants, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a corner piece. It's going to be delving into a little bit about what happens during the initial you know, the time lapse, what we didn't see, basically. It's going to go into that. And it's also going to address the fate of Scott Summers, a.k.a. Cyclops, which people have been asking about since the rebirth happened.
Other than getting his neck snap in Secret Wars.
Yeah, yeah, there was that. And it was a pretty cool moment. I liked it. But
I mean, who doesn't
apparently
listen?
That didn't carry over into why he's not around anymore.
Yeah, that should have been why he... Yeah, but whatever. They caught that on that.
So this is going to kind of delve into the... like. This is kind of like when they did one year later in DC and they went back to fill in the gaps after the fact. It's going to be co-plotted by Jeff Lemire and Charles Soule, who helmed the X-Universe and Inhuman Universe, respectively. They're sort of the helmsman of those. So that's going to pretty much be the big event coming out of this. And I have trouble keeping up with the events nowadays. I got an event for everything coming up. You know, it's ridiculous.
I don't care. Because it's just... You're only pitting these two because you know that's what people are talking about. And it's not going to make... you know, there's no reason for the X-Men don't want to fight the Inhumans. You know, it's like, you're just going to make up some stupid excuse, just like Civil War, you're going to make some stupid reason for them to fight. And chances are the Inhumans are going to come on top because you got to make the mutants their bitch. So, this is, and there's no, and we're going to talk about it, there's no X-Men books launching in October. This is it. This is the only thing X-Men related in October. So, what does that say about the mutants? I don't know.
Well, I mean, we know why it's really happening, kind of. You know, the whole behind-the-scenes shtick.
Oh, yeah, the movie bullshit, which shouldn't affect the comic at all.
Well, yeah, I mean, remember that big split that happened between Marvel TV and Marvel movies and shit, you know? That's pretty much what happened, is that, you know, they didn't want to advertise a movie that they weren't getting, you know, money on. And, fuck, you know, that's just... kind of what happened.
It's dumb. John, give me your thoughts on this.
I don't give a shit. I haven't cared about the mutants for I don't know how long, and while I do like Inhumans and mutants both, I don't like what Marvel's been doing to them. I don't care that if it's Lemire on there. I don't care if it's Soufflé. I don't care. You can hear the amount of fucks I give in the background. Zilch.
All right. Let's move on to the other Iron Man book, which is Infamous Iron Man, by Bendis, by the Daredevil team of Bendis and Maleev. Bendis once again. Basically, Brian, who is the Infamous Iron Man?
Well, in case the cover artwork is too subtle for you, the Infamous Iron Man is going to be none other than Dr. Doom himself. Victor Von Doom is taking up the helm of Iron Man. Apparently, they became allies or something in Invincible Iron Man back when Tony actually, you know, was in the book. And, yeah, so now he's taking over. Like you said, written by BMB, illustrated by Alex Maleev. Yeah, Vic Von Doom's going to pick up the, take the place of Tony Stark. And this series will actually replace International Iron Man going forward. So... could say goodbye to that series, whoever actually...
Damn, that title didn't even... oh, God.
Well, so, yeah, not a whole hell of a lot else is known about it, except it's Von Doom continually seeking redemption following his transformation after Secret Wars. How will this Infamous Iron Man play against the new Invincible Iron Man, Riri Williams? Time will tell. But... that's really all we got for the moment. All we got right now is that, Iron Man's going to be in two different books, and neither one of them's going to be Tony Stark, so we will see, I suppose. Yeah.
I don't...
I actually would... Go ahead, sir.
This is the more interesting of the two, because it's Doom trying to be...
Doom is always interesting.
Yeah, Doom is just a more interesting character, and that could be a little bit disrespectful to Riri Williams because she's a new character, but like I'm gonna go with the character that I know more about, and that's Doom, and maybe you can tell a redemption style story with him, but with Bendis I don't have any faith. So I'm not gonna pick this up because it's Bendis. Which is a shame because Alex Maleev is the artist on this. It should be good because it's Alex Maleev.
Yeah. But also with his With his track record, though, it'll be once every 2 or 3 months, and an issue comes out. It seems like.
Yeah, he takes a while.
But
what did they? I forget. Somebody on the boards posted something in response. I think it was was it Agent Purple who posted something? It was like, yeah, at least Maliv is doing the art though. And the thing he followed up with, yeah, but that's like giving a pity fuck to someone with an STD, you know?
It's, pretty much, yeah.
It's, yeah.
I'm not touching this book.
It has one word for it that I can't. Why I won't touch it, even though I'm interested. Bendis. Right there.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to the final thing, which is all connecting all together, which is Divided We Stand, which is obviously.
Oh, you missed one.
Did I miss one?
Unworthy Thor.
Oh yeah, the
Odin. That's what I think of it too.
Written by Jason Aaron and illustrated by the man, the myth, the legend, Olivier Coipel. He's coming back to Thor. What? And it's gonna pick up with the adventures of Thor, Odin's son, which is, I guess, what they're calling him now.
He's always been the Odinson.
Yeah, still not worthy, and we still don't know why.
We're never gonna know why.
We probably never will. They're probably they probably have some writers chained in the basement. Like, when you come up with a good enough answer, then you can come out, you know? They're trying to think it over, but honestly, what the hell? I don't.
Thor.
Does anybody even know what happened anymore? That just made him, like.
Yeah, original sin didn't happen now. You never know. Anyway, they've done.
Yeah. Nobody even remembers original sin, and we're stuck with the after effects from that. I mean.
Other than maybe Nick Fury was like, "You're gonna get boobs," you know, that kind of thing. I don't know. It just.
Hey Thor, I saw you cheat on that math test, and that's what makes him unworthy.
Or he'll go, "Hey Thor, Jane Foster is dying. You need to let her have the hammer," and he mentally lets himself.
Why doesn't that surprise me that they'll do
that? What if this is just all some big make-a-wish thing where it's like, just give it to Jane while she's still alive? Honestly. That would be fucked up.
You should have cured Jane's cancer because you didn't. You're unworthy.
I will say this. This one I will be interested in because Jason Aaron has done some pretty good stuff with Thor, female or otherwise. And you got Coppola coming back. I absolutely love his run on Thor. So I will give it this whole slew of crap that's been coming out. It actually looks like it might be good. So. Again, though, we're not going to find out why he's unworthy, but, you know.
Maybe this... Look, they need to answer it. It's been 3 years. We need to know why he's unworthy. This is ridiculous. We found out that Jane Foster was the female Thor before we found out why Thor is unworthy. Like, that's a huge plot point to everything that's happened. We need to know. If we know, then that's fine. We're not going to be satisfied, but we're going to be fine. Now can we move on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, got an image which sort of sums up the Marvel Universe. Divided We Fall, with Doctor Doom with the Iron Man helmet, with Cable, Black Panther, Hydra Steve. Go listen to the previous episode to understand what that means. Captain Marvel. Some dude in a green uniform, other dude with guns, Godzilla.
That one's Full Killer, and then it looks like Maverick. Oh, and no, it's Solo.
Solo? Yeah, Han Solo joins the Marvel Universe?
I don't know. I think that's the guy's name. He looks like Maverick. Okay. I don't know.
What's Godzilla doing in the picture?
What's the what?
Godzilla. The giant
Oh, that's
foot.
American Kaiju.
What?
That is a dude named Toddzilla who was literally transformed into a giant fucking kaiju with an American flag on his face.
That sounds dumb.
That is dumb, but he's also going to be in the U.S. Avengers, so...
That makes sense. Also, I think that Slapstick character's in there, the clown.
Yep, Slapstick, yep. She-Hulk doing the red She-Hulk shit with the swords.
No, that's Gamora.
That's Gamora.
Oh, okay, looked like She-Hulk.
She-Hulk's dead.
Yeah, true, I forgot.
Is she dead, though?
It's Marvel, she's in a coma, who knows?
Well, how about this Hobie Brown guy? Prowler showed up out of nowhere. I'm like, what the fuck is he doing?
Where's Hobie Brown? Oh, in the middle? Well, I guess he's not Spider-Man's bodyguard anymore.
Yeah.
But so
robot.
On the right, we got Mosaic, Gwenpool, Miss America. Is it Miss America the new, the Ultimates character?
Yeah.
America Chavez. Well, her name, yeah, America Chavez, whatever.
Then you got Squirrel Girl.
Squirrel Girl.
Some kid in yellow shorts and blue.
Yeah, tights. I don't know what that is. Amadeus chose the Hulk, Miles Morales, Spider-Man, Kate Bishop, Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel, Doctor Strange with his badass axe.
And we got Frobot in the front.
God damn it. Yeah, everybody thought she was going to be War Machine based on that image.
Yeah.
I think I would have been more happy if she was War Machine.
Would have made more damn sense.
Yeah. Why did you get to kill Rhodey?
As far as I'm concerned, she's Frobot. That's my new name for
Frobot. Okay. What do we think, guys? Some of your thoughts on the new Marvel Universe. These are your new Marvel characters.
Yeah. I don't like it.
I'm underwhelmed. I'm totally underwhelmed.
Yeah, Iggy, you summarized it best, man. Give us that little spiel again, honestly.
I don't recognize the Marvel Universe anymore.
You know, believe it or not, this would have been better for than when they did the relaunch after Secret Wars. If you're going to... This smacks of more of what it should have been. I don't know.
I agree. Versus starting out super traditional and then fucking it up.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't recognize the Marvel Universe anymore. Like, the only ones I recognize are Doctor Strange, you know, Kamala Khan, but that's because she's established herself. But, like, who the fuck is Slapstick? Who are some of these other people? American Kaiju? Like, there's some classic characters I recognize but...
And I swear it looks like Captain America's got a goatee.
No,
it looks like in the art, just the way the art's drawn.
Yeah. Like it's just like this isn't my Marvel Universe.
This does not look like Earth 616 to me.
No. This is not the Marvel Universe I know. I understand that change needs to happen, but this isn't. Why is Gwenpool on there? She's going to be a footnote in a couple of years.
Like, she's there for the Harlequin shtick, I have a feeling.
I guess. She doesn't.
So we can't do Harlequin, so we're going to let's just do Gwenpool. Kind of a lame
version of Harlequin.
Yeah, crossbreeding. Who knows? Yeah.
I don't know.
It really is the love child of Harlequin and Deadpool, honestly. That's what it is.
Pretty much.
And Squirrel Girl just looks really...
Out of place.
No, not so much out of place. She even looks worse than normal. The costume just... I don't know. I'm getting a headache from looking at this. Not even Diodato can save this.
Yeah, it's a mess. If this is your new Marvel Universe, congrats. But, like, I think all of us are sort of experiencing what Taser felt when he left. It's like we're kind of being pushed out because they want that elusive new reader. They want those people.
Comics ain't for you, old men. Wander on.
There's some interesting stuff here. I mean, as long as Doctor Strange continues on, the new Thor book might be interesting.
I'd be interested in Infamous Iron Man if Bendis wasn't touching it.
I would be interested in Invincible Iron Man if they changed the title and it wasn't Bendis.
Yeah.
You know?
Call it Frobot and I'd be happy. I mean, come on.
You know, we'll have to see. But right now, it's not looking good for the... And, like, this is just fanboys whining, but, like, this is a universe we cared about. Like, yeah, they can do whatever they want, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see how long... I mean, if anything... You know what?
Last a year.
Yeah, it's not going to last a year. By next year, it'll be a whole new different thing. That's the biggest joke of them all. That's the biggest joke. It's not going to last a year. Let's move on to individual reviews, because we're running long. And I'm gonna let Jonathan go first because this is a book that came out several weeks ago. But after the fervor that made a whole bunch of people mad with Captain America number one by Steve saying two words, it looks like we got an answer sooner than we thought we would with Steve Rogers, Captain America number two. Jonathan, what did you think of the second
issue? Okay, I'm gonna say this right now. I think this was We already had our nice little discussion off you know, panel, so to speak, and we had our discussion about the first issue. Marvel, if you can't even have the balls to stick to the storyline for even a couple of issues before you do this issue, fuck you. I already knew how it was going to wind up being, you know, Red Skull with either the telepathic powers or the fucking Cosmic Cube.
Well, not everybody knew, John, because, you know, people lost their shit and thought it was legitimate. And, you know.
But the thing is,
people who weren't comic fans decided to put in their two cents and made death threats against authors.
Well, it's like this. The issue was, you know, I'm not going to say that they did it in 30 days. I mean, I've seen them do that before. But this was obviously already written, set up, and ready to go. I have a feeling that they moved it up a few. Because if you're going to do the story structure, I mean, at least how I would see the story structure is going to go, you have Cap do the Hail Hydra. You have him go for a couple issues doing the new philosophy and all that. And get people get their shit going. You get the public. Then you hit them with this, like an issue 4 or 5, you know, go, okay, hey, folks, he's still there. It's just Red Skull screwing shit again, you know, screwing shit up with
it. It kind of takes, like, whatever he does, like, it makes it even more meaningless because it is, we do know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I was like, if it's the fucking Red Skull with the Cosmic Cube, I'm going to be out. I'm not going to even touch this title.
I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for your patriotic Avenger and a pesky Falcon.
And then, you know, I mean, it's like this. I mean, I loved reading the first issue of Thunderbolts when it came out. It was a nice little change of pace, and they ruined it with this insipid creation from Pleasant Hill where it's a little girl that is actually a Cosmic Cube. And I was just like, I'm done. And to find out that Red Skull is doing this, and it shows him going through and using his powers to subtly influence everybody to set it all up, which I thought was a nice twist. I mean, if you're going to actually show Red Skull being bored with actually using his powers to dominate people and he wants to do it a different way, you know, he's actually learning the art of subtlety, which he doesn't always have. I give him points for that.
The Nazi not being subtle, that's funny.
Yeah. But otherwise, again, the art was good. And I will say that it was, I guess the writing was solid. I'm not going to try to bash anybody new. You know, if you can read it and enjoy it and think it's a good twist, that's good. I'm starting to show my age because this is like the 5th, 6th, maybe 100th time the Skull has used a Cosmic Cube in some form or another to try to fuck up Rogers. And I guess the reveal wouldn't have been so bad to me if it just didn't seem like, oh, okay, well, we already got it written. Let's just move this up so we can calm people's, you know, panties out of the wad and get them back into, you know, some go, hey, it's okay. He's still Steve Rogers. We had this planned, you know, even though the douchebags, apparently, like you said in the last time when we reviewed number one, obviously don't know how a comic book story goes. My problem is I've been reading this shit way too long. You know, so I can see some of the stuff coming a mile away. And I mean, and I know things can get repeated. It's just how you do it. I did not like how they did it. I think Marvel just didn't have the balls, you know, like DC does on some things. And I'm not trying to say DC's better by any mean or anything like that. But Marvel tries to do something different. People bitch. They almost automatically go right back to the status quo as quick as they can. I give them credit for keeping Thor female, you know, for as long as they have. I credit them for a couple of things, but this one, I'm not passing go. I'm not coming back. And the only way I will is if there's some major shock or you make it a book of the week. I'm done. I hate to say that, but just for the art, I will say, you know, 3 stars for the art. 1 or 2 of the minor stuff that they showed Skull doing, I will give, you know, a couple of marks for that. So I give it about a 2.5. But otherwise, I think, fuck you, Marvel. You couldn't even, you did this whole Hail Hydra hook, and you don't even have the balls to let it string out for at least a couple of issues. You know, you move, you know, you ruin the structure of the story, and Again, it's kind of like Civil War II. It's meaningless. I don't care. And that's the biggest crime. I just don't care. I don't care how they're going to, you know, solve it. Because, I mean, yeah, Steve will be back to his normal self fairly quick. And I think that's the bigger sin of the bunch. They can't stick to anything long enough to make a good story out of it. And I'm done. I'm done with both Captain America titles. I'm done with anything that might. Kind of like Bendis, I just. Spencer, talented writer, but I just have not liked what I've seen lately out of him. So I'm done. I tap. I just, no. Okay. I'd rather get in the ring. Rather get in the ring with Brock Lesnar.
Oh no! Did you see what he did to Mark Hunt? No, you don't want to do that.
Suplex City, bitch.
Yes, huh. Yes, I did, and I'd rather have that than the experience I had with Captain America 2.
Jesus,
that's the kind of beating I felt like I got from reading that issue.
Oh, suplex. Hey guys, let's get John an all-pay expense trip to Suplex City. Okay, I'm going next with the Scarlet. Well, not the Scarlet Witch. Scarlet Witch number 7, one of my current favorite Marvel books. This is, once again, written by James Robinson, and as with every issue done by different artists, this one is done by one of my favorite new artists, and it's done by Tula Lute. If you don't know who that is, I encourage you to go check out I think it was about a year ago, Warren Ellis did a miniseries basically sort of doing a revision of the Supreme character that was created by Rob Liefeld. And she was the artist, and her art is gorgeous. And it's just as gorgeous as I remember it. She's perfect. It's very painterly, but it's not, like, I don't know how to describe it. It just looks beautiful. Basically, this issue is one long therapy session in that Scarlet, like, for the first issue, Scarlet Witch has been going, she's, like, the whole premise of the book so far has been that witchcraft is broken, and she needs to fix it. She needs to do something, and each issue has sort of been following, like, sort of fixing things and solving problems all over the world. This issue sort of, basically said, like, sort of tackles her problems and her life is, like, how she's not the daughter of Magneto. She's the she was a creation of the High Evolutionary, and she recently found her mother, Natalia Maximoff, and how basically she's using this witching program, this problem as a way to not confront her past. And this therapist is basically saying that, like, have you talked to Vision? Do you talk to anybody about this? Do you talk to the Avengers anymore? You know, my dog doesn't think she talks to the Avengers anymore. But she is sort of just, like, going over her history, like, you know, talking about Wiccan and Speed of the Young Avengers. Like, do you ever visit them? Do you ever, you know, you're technically their mother. Why don't you ever say anything to them? You know, and it breaks her down to tears, and why she says, I can't see them, because how do I know they were, like, what if they had a different mother, if they were born from the very beginning, or are they, were they teenagers living their own lives, and then the spirits of her sons went into them, you know? Until ultimately, she realizes who this therapist actually is, and it's Maynard Tybalt, the ringmaster of the Circus of Crime. So I didn't expect to see the Circus of Crime at all. And so he calls the cops, and she calls the cops and basically arrests them. But all in all, like, it was pretty much, he was glad to help her. Like, it was basically a big breakthrough for Wanda as a character. Like, no, I need to confront this. I cannot stop running from my past. I can't hide anymore. And it was a nice issue. Like, it felt like it was an earned moment, because even if you hadn't been reading Scarlet Witch, say, for the past, like, say, what, 15 years? Ever since Avengers Disassembled, when she went crazy, super crazy. The doors are just closing around in my house, and it's starting to piss me off. And how do I say this? And it was a nice breakthrough issue. And Tula Tay on art is just perfect. I give it a 4 out of 5. Really damn good issue. Anybody else read this? Did nobody else read this issue?
What?
Did you read this issue?
No. No, I did not. No.
Damn. All right, well, let's wrap it up with you, Brian, with Civil War II Kingpin, number one.
Kingpin, number one. How about that? So, this book is about Wilson Fisk, as you might be able to tell. Basically, what happens is, after that little detour of both Kingpin and Daredevil into San Francisco, because, yeah, Kingpin was there too. Why not? He finally returns to New York, but he's lacking in resources. He doesn't have the manpower, the money he used to have. Everyone thinks San Francisco has made him a little soft. So he has trouble reestablishing himself. But in his attempts to do so, he happens upon a criminal for hire who was working freelance named, name is Janice Jardish. And Janice is an Inhuman. And the whole point of the series, it's set around the whole premise of Civil War. That is that they are able to predict crimes before they happen. And this issue picks up when that whole concept is in high gear. There are criminals and S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D. is cracking down. Heroes are cracking down on people, taking them in for crimes before they even commit them, and locking them up. And Kingpin, being fortuitous that he is, happens upon a criminal named Janice Jardish. And Janice is unable to be seen or affected by Ulysses, the future-seeing Inhuman that is, you know, funding this whole, or, you know, fueling this whole crackdown on crime. Janice is immune to this stuff. Nobody can see him. Nobody knows what he's doing. He's got a free pass.
Why isn't he in the main story of Civil War? Why aren't... Whatever. Fuck it.
Well, okay. Here's what happens, okay? So, he doesn't know that he can't be seen. And he is happened upon by Kingpin when he is harvesting people for trafficking criminal. Typically, it's lowly work, and it's not work he actually wanted to do, but the lack of criminals in the underworld anymore, since they're all being picked up by S.H.I.E.L.D. and whatnot, gave him limited options. So he was on the underbelly of the underbelly of crime. And Kingpin happens upon him, and Kingpin makes this dude disappear. He doesn't let anybody know about him. He doesn't give anybody his name. Doesn't let anybody know he exists. But he keeps him at his side. Because Kingpin figures as long as Janice can't be seen, he also cannot be seen. And this proves him an opportunity to move back up in the criminal underworld and sort of reestablish himself. Because at the very beginning, there's an assassination attempt on Fisk by Bushwhacker. Old school guy. And Bushwhacker...
Wait, the former... The Hall of Fame tag team, the Bushwhackers, are in the Marvel Universe?
No, unfortunately, no. That would be funny, but no. No, this guy is a guy whose hand is a gun. Like, literally. So, but before Kingpin disposes of Bushwhacker, he asks him, did you come for me, or did you come for him? Pointing at Janice.
Hold on, I'm going to interrupt you real quick, Brian. John, what were the Bushwhackers' names?
Oh, God. Damn it. Luke and that's all I can remember is Bushwhacker Luke.
Alright, call him Luke from now on, Brian.
Well, it's not going to be very long because he dies.
Oh, before well, rest in peace, Bushwhacker Luke. Not really.
Before he dies, Kingpin asks Bushwhacker Luke if he came to kill Kingpin or came to kill Janice. And the guy, Bushwhacker Luke, says, why the fuck would I have come for him? It's indicating that nobody knows this guy exists. He's off the radar. They even have a backup feature about this guy after he turns Inhuman. And he tries to reach out to the Inhumans. They don't pay him no mind. Nobody asks him. Nobody bothers with him. He's sort of just, you know, he's sort of just there. And nobody really notices him. So that's how he's skating by. But Kingpin happens upon this guy and he figures, hey, if I can get this guy on my side, I can be the guy to rise up in the underworld again. So that's sort of where we find this book. Kingpin's attempting to make a comeback through this guy, Janice, who is an Inhuman, cannot be seen by the future-seeing Civil War Ulysses guy. Written by Matt Rosenberg. Matt Rosenberg is the guy who wrote We Can Never Go Home, an excellent indie comic series off at Black Mass Studios. This is his first work for either of the big two, I think. Or maybe
I've heard of that.
We Can Never Go Home?
Yeah, that sounds really familiar.
It's a really good series. They did it in hardcover a while back. I'd recommend checking it out if you haven't already, but it's really good. Illustrated by Ricardo Lopez Ortiz. He's kind of the weak point because his art's kind of cartoony, and there are a few moments that seem more heavy-handed that really shouldn't be, or more that seem kind of, you know, silly, that really shouldn't be looking that silly. But overall, it's an enjoyable read. I enjoyed it, and I'm interested to see how this dynamic plays out between Kingpin and Janice Jardish. So I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5. It was probably one of the better tie-ins I'll read for Civil War. I'm not reading a hell of a lot of tie-ins.
But I'm surprised you're reading any.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I picked this up because Matt Rosenberg was writing it, and I'm a huge fan of We Can Never Go Home, so I thought I'd give it a shot. And didn't disappoint, so I'd recommend it, especially if you're a fan of We Can Never Go Home, because that was a really top-notch series. So.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the Mighty Warriors 2 Marvel Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want to follow us on social media, head over to Facebook, where Brian, Jonathan, and, of course, our buddy Taser is keeping a lockdown on there. Are we the Mighty Warriors 3 on Facebook, or just the Warriors 3 on Facebook?
We're the Mighty Warriors 3.
Okay. Go like our page or whatever Facebook does now. Follow us on Twitter at Warriors3PCast. Follow Brian at No Man Powers. No Mr. Powers. I corrected myself, so shut up. Shut up.
Okay.
Shut up.
Okay. Oh.
With freaking laser beams on their heads. go follow Brian at No Mr. Powers. You know it's Friday whenever he starts retweeting like a motherfucker. Follow me on Twitter at Marvelous Iggy, and follow me. I've been streaming live on Twitch a lot. Twitch.tv/Iggy2814. I've been playing my favorite RPG, Golden Sun: The Lost Age. Recently, as of this recording, the previous night I did a 4-hour stream. Dedicated to Golden Sun goodness, Golden Sun: The Lost Age goodness. That will be uploaded Thursday. There will be an episode already on my YouTube channel. Just follow, click on my Twitter link, and I'll take you to my YouTube channel. Also, I'm currently playing Mario. I'm doing a Let's Play of Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga, so that's also fun. Also, when this is out, the review will be out, so I can say it. Head over to greenlanterncore.com and be sure to check out my review. My reviews of the current Green Lantern Rebirth books, including Green Lantern's Rebirth, Green Lanterns number 1 and 2, and the upcoming Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps. That is out. I have reviewed the issue. So if you want what I think of the current, of the new, latest addition to the Green Lantern Mythos book, Great Mythos, go check it out. I really enjoyed writing the review and all that other stuff. So, yes, I get advanced copies now. I think I can say that. I should be able to say that, right? That's not a crime to say that. Brian, that's not a crime to say that, right? You're scaring me.
Yeah, no. You can say what you want. It's a free country. I wasn't gonna suppress your rights.
I'm just saying, like, DC's not gonna come after. DC's not gonna come after me, right? It shouldn't.
Nah, you'll be fine.
Okay. Fine.
Ignore the glint of the sniper rifle off.
God damn. That's way too topical. Okay. Thank you all, ladies and gentlemen. Also, stay cool out there. It's fucking hot. It was 105 degrees today here in Austin. I didn't go outside as a result because fuck that noise. It's too hot. I just stayed inside and played video games. So, thank you for listening. As always, and definitely, we will see you next week for another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. As always, stay marvelous. Your own, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming, or you'll sink like a stone. Oh, the tide.